Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We see Jesus hailing the great faith of the woman in today's gospel. Here's the definition of faith I give my students in the classroom. Faith is the sure trust and confidence in the true God, that he exists, that he is good, and that his word is always true. Now you can expand on that, but that's a very simple definition, a definition which we see the devil meddling with already in the Garden of Eden, trying to convince Adam and Eve that God isn't good, that God's word isn't always true, that they could be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, their default state was to believe in the true God, to trust in him that he is good and that his word is always true. But from the time that Eve was deceived by the serpent in the Garden of Eden, the default state of human beings changed. They went from knowing good up close and not knowing evil to knowing good from a distance and knowing evil up close and personal. They went from trusting in God to doubting and disbelieving God. They went from knowing that everything he does is always good to wondering if anything he does is ever good. They went from trusting that his word is always true to being very sure that many of the things in God's word are simply false. The God is not good temptation was part of the devil's attacks on Jesus in the wilderness during his 40-day fast, as we talked about last Sunday. Jesus never wavered when he was tempted. But the rest of us often do. And more as mankind thinks more and more highly of himself, as we convince ourselves that we deserve a happy, easy, comfortable life on this earth, and anything less is just unacceptable. But in our gospel, we're confronted with an anomaly, with something that's really extraordinary. We're confronted with a woman who grew up in a land of Tyre and Sidon, where the true God was not worshipped. A woman who belonged to a Greek culture that proudly worshipped demons in the form of pagan gods. The woman had no reason, humanly speaking, to have a sure trust and confidence in the true God, that he exists, that he is good, and that his word is always true. And yet somehow she did. Somehow word of Jesus had gone north ahead of him into that territory just off the northern border of Israel, that he was powerful over demons, that he was merciful, kind, and good to all who came to him for help. Somehow this woman had also heard the prophecies of Israel's Old Testament scriptures, promising that a Savior would come to Israel, a Savior of both Jews and Gentiles, the Christ, the Son of David, as she calls him. She had heard that Jesus was this merciful Savior, Lord and Christ, and hearing, she believed. She believed, even though she saw plenty of evil, plenty of trouble in her life. She saw evil up close and personal when her daughter became possessed or tormented by a demon. But instead of blaming God for it, she recognized that it was the devil who was her enemy, not God. It was her sins and the sins of the rest of mankind that brought this evil into the world, not God. She looked to God not as her enemy, but as her Savior from the enemy. She knew that God is always good, So when Jesus tested her faith in today's gospel in the ways that he did, it didn't harm her one bit. It simply revealed her faith and the power of God's word to create and sustain a faith like that. The woman from the region of Tyre and Sidon found Jesus after he had left Israel and gone into her region, the only time he left the land of Israel during his whole ministry on earth. She found him and cried out to him, "O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Already she shows her faith. Already she acknowledges the demon that's tormenting her daughter as the enemy and the Lord Jesus as her friend and helper. And at this point, we would expect that Jesus would do as he had done in every case up to this point recorded in Scripture when someone came to him for help. We would expect him to immediately lend her the aid she sought. But he didn't. It says he did not say a word in reply. Well, is he good or not? She didn't waver. She kept crying out. And the disciples stepped in. They didn't like that she kept crying out. "Send her away. She keeps crying out after us." Some have speculated that they meant that in the best possible way. As in, "Lord, grant her request and then send her away." I think it seems more likely that they were saying, "Lord, if you're not going to help her, please send her away because she just keeps crying out." Either way, the disciples wanted to be rid of her. Well, these are the great apostles, are they? These are Christians. They don't seem very nice. And yet, these are the ones Jesus has chosen to follow him. Well, sometimes Christians behave in such a way that they make people ask the question, is Jesus good or not? Jesus added yet another obstacle. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, it's true, Jesus was sent first to the Jews, and then Paul says in Romans, then to the Gentiles. And it's true that already earlier in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus sent out his apostles, he told them, don't go into the cities and streets of the Gentile territories, only go to the sheep, to the lost sheep of Israel. On the other hand, Jesus had already helped Gentiles when they came to him for help, like the centurion we read about in Matthew chapter 5, whose faith Jesus also praised as being great. It still left the woman wondering, is Jesus good or not? Or is he only good to some people, but not to me? Or it could have left her wondering that. It appears that the doubt never even entered her mind. She didn't waver. She came and fell down before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Again, is he good or not? She never wavered. "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but the dogs do eat from the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Yes, he is good, she knew. And she knew, I am not good. I am a sinner. And I see myself not just as the rest of the sinners of the world, but as even lower than others, less important, less worthy, less deserving, and yet still I look for his help. I hope in his help. Faith and hope never left the woman for a moment. And then after that brief exchange, Jesus was done testing and exercising her faith. "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." He sets her up for his disciples who were there that day. He sets her up for the Jewish people going forward as a shining example of faith, as a shining example of what God can do, whether you're Jew or Gentile or anything. God's word has the power to create faith like that. That's the faith that God is looking for and that God creates. Now, our enemy, the devil, who brought this ruin on our race, is the one that we should really be blaming for all the troubles in the world, for all the troubles that we face. The devil and ourselves, as those who have given in to his temptations too many times. The devil is our enemy. Also, our enemy is the world. That is the unbelievers who repeat the devil's lies in our ears every chance they get. Either God does not exist, or God is not good, or God's word is not always true. And then, of course, our enemy is our own sinful flesh that still has no true fear of God, no true love for God, and doesn't trust him and never will. And because of our sins, all sorts of troubles have been unleashed on our world, whether directly for specific sins that we've committed, or indirectly because trouble and disease and death are part of the curse that our world is still under. But Jesus shows us in today's gospel that he is always good, even when he allows the devil to harass mankind. God is good even when he humbles us and disciplines us. God is good even when he punishes. God is good even when he doesn't seem to be listening. God is good even when he doesn't give the answer you had hoped for or doesn't give it right away. Far from not caring about our troubles, Jesus joined us in our troubles, took on our humanity, suffered not only with us, but for us. Sent by God the Father from heaven to die on the cross as the payment for our sins, so that we might believe in him and so be forgiven by him and live eternally with him, so that we might know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is always good, and not just to some people, but also to you, and that whatever he does is always right. Look at the woman that Jesus holds up for us in our gospel today as a model for our faith. Learn from her. Become more and more like her, listening to God's word and believing it. Never pretending that you're entitled to God's help, but humbly, boldly, persistently seeking his mercy and help only for Jesus' sake, and knowing that he will give it in just the right way, at just the right time, because he loves you, as a dear father loves his dear children. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Create in me.